Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hello, Chris Evans here to thank you for listening to my podcast.
This week on the podcast, Vassos took his life in his own hands to clean the windows right here at the top of the news tower. Tom Hughes revealed the time he spoke to Alex Ferguson on the phone as a kid and then Alex called him back. And Stephen Mulhern and I come up with ideas on the fly for a brand new TV show, the likes of which you may have heard a bit about before. Ricky Wilson from Kaiser Chiefs telling us about his stadium gig in Leeds and Sunday Brunch's Tim Lovejoy getting pulled up on exactly how much he's contributed to his brand new cookbook with his pal Simon Rimmer, who did most of the work. All of that and more on the way. Enjoy, my friends, enjoy.
If you turn over to ITV this Saturday night, you're almost guaranteed to see our next guest's face. Specifically, 7:30 with In For A Penny, yes, and 9:15 on ITV2 with Britain's Got More Talent. Please welcome a man that looks simply spectacular in a gold sparkly jacket. It's the unbelievable Stephen Mulhern.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, how are you?
Welcome officially. Very well. It's lovely to meet you. I've never met you before. I don't think I've even been in the same room as you.
No, and the weirdest thing of all is I've always wanted to meet you.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, I have, yeah. And it's funny, I was speaking only yesterday on Sunday Brunch and they showed a picture of myself with Emma Bunton about, because I did the warm-up for their audience with the Spice Girls.
Right.
And I had this quite loud suit on, which was very much influenced from when you were doing TFI Friday.
Yeah.
And don't forget your toothbrush.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, so it's interesting, isn't it? But it's a pleasure to be here.
No,
Thanks so much.
It's great. And I love, I think you're brilliant on the telly. I think you're fantastic on the telly. You're a point and shoot presenter, so they could just point a camera at you and you can, I can't take my eyes off you. I think you're fantastic. So In For A Penny started as a funny little bit and has now grown, evolved, exploded into its own show. First of all, for people who haven't seen it, by the way, where have you been? It's brilliant. Tell them what it is, how it began and where we are now.
Right, so it started on Saturday Night Takeaway. Antoinette came up with the idea and the basic idea is this: if you've got a penny, you get through to four rounds, get to the fifth round, you can win yourself a grand, but you do need a penny to play. The games are so simple. Things like Pump It, and we've all played this at some point, where you put the nozzle into your tank of your car, you tell me what amount you want, say, let's say £30, then you've only got two pumps if you go a penny over,
so
a penny under. But if you get it bang on, I'll pay for your petrol.
It's so good. I absolutely love it.
There's a new game on this Saturday called Wade In. And I think this is right up your alley, okay? So we're at an airport and people who are just about to fly, they've got to try and guess the weight of their case.
Right.
And they get three chances. So, for example, they go 18.2 kilos. We'll put it on. If it's over, they're allowed to then take something out of their
case. You're so excited about
that. Yeah, I am. Because there was this one woman who opened her case. And of course, as soon as they opened her case, I'm straight in there.
Yeah. Of course you are.
And I said, what's this? She went, that is a massager. It was no more a massager than, and it was one of those moments. But it goes out, you know, on 7:30. Yeah.
Okay, give me another game. Come on.
Okay,
I love these. These games are so good.
Okay, so we've got the bucket game. So this couldn't be simpler. So you've got five buckets. Yep. Four of them are filled with ice cold water. One of them is filled with confetti.
Like
you get three choices between one and five. But each bucket will be poured over you.
Right.
So it'll be poured over you. There was a guy who was, it was about 1-2 o'clock in the afternoon, and he was all suited and booted.
Yeah.
He said, I'll give it a go. I said, you do realise you could get really wet?
Yeah.
He said, yeah. He said, I'm up for this. Yeah, 50 quid. Yeah, that'll be lovely. He said, I'm only on my lunch break. Anyway, he picks the first bucket. I'll have bucket number two. We lift it. He's facing forwards, obviously. Pour it over. Water.
Yeah.
Next bucket. Where are you going to go? I'll have bucket number four. Number four. But now his suit's gone from light blue to dark navy blue.
Yeah, yeah.
You've only got one. And I so want them to win. And literally, he went, okay, I'll go for bucket five. No, I'm going to change it. I'll go for bucket number one. Got bucket number one. Again, water. And what was in five? Uh-huh. The confetti.
Oh, my God.
But it's just these games that, you know, kids and families. And honestly, Chris, the thing that I've noticed on social media, and I don't do a lot of social media, but over the weekend, the amount of families that are sending pictures of their kids going, I've never seen my boy laugh so much.
Yeah.
And then adults, yourself, I'm literally going, it's just funny.
It's brilliant. Well, you're playing with the world around you. And it's what we used to do on Toothbrush. We used to bring people's bedrooms on. You know, we used to nick people's bedrooms when they were out of the house. We used to nick their whole bedroom. And we used to put it on the telly. But you're going to their bedroom to play these games. Or, you know, we did this thing called Float or Flush, where we got five toilets and you go along, you know, and the more you get right, the bigger the prize becomes. And you'd be say, OK, Malteser, Float or Flush. Ooh, I don't know. Yeah. What do you think? And the whole country's going, I don't know. Would a Malteser float or would it flush? I'm not quite sure.
Play along.
But they were all like your games. Like, what can we play? You'd look at a building site, right? What's funny on that building site?
What could you do?
I remember there was a pizza delivery boy who had a chicken chaser scooter. And he loved motorbikes, but he had a rubbish one and he was saving up for one. And that's why he delivered pizzas. So we let him play for a Harley Davidson. And the way he played was we got him 12 pizzas. He put all the 12 pizzas on the back of his chicken chaser. And then he had to go to a block of flats where we'd turn the block of flats into a sort of pigeonhole scoreboard. And he had to get certain pizzas through certain windows. And the families had to catch the pizzas.
Amazing, yeah.
And then if he caught enough, he won the Harley Davidson. And then he carried on delivering pizzas, but on his Harley Davidson. I mean, that's what you
love.
This
it.
Is what you want.
Yes, it is.
But this is what you're doing.
Well,
I'm so pleased for you.
But you just get it because you've been there and you've done
it. Great. It's the funniest thing ever.
Well, thank you. I just hope, you know, when you just hope it continues and builds and builds because it starts off really well. So I've got everything crossed.
So you could do, you could get like, you know those Glade air fresheners that squirt from the top? You know, they've got the top nozzle.
Yes.
So they go up like a fountain. So you get, you know, you go to a street, you go, okay, today we're going to play Glade Expectations, right? We've never done this one, right? So you turn up in a street, you say, okay, we're doing it. Because the next thing to come is In for a Penny Live, isn't it? So what you want to do, Saturday nights, right, In for a Penny Live, okay? So the first series goes gangbusters, and for like four one-offs that come around or to when the big schedules kick in, the big advertising money's there, right, and it gets dark at night so you can light the street better. Okay, we're going to pitch up in a street for In for a Penny Live. We could be at your street next week, right? And so you and then you announce where you're going to be, like, before the show that's on before you, but you're already there.
Right.
So if you're in this street, we're going to be in your street in an hour. Right, and if you want to play tonight, you'll need some Glade air freshener for one game. You'll need this, that, and the other. We're going to play the flush off different game. So you get the street to play, and you get a champion in the street, and they win whatever they win. Right, but Glade expectations. Right, if you've got a kind of Glade, an aerosol of Glade air freshener and a ping pong ball, right, it's the person that can hover the ping pong ball the highest on the jet of air freshener. You know, or for longest, or like an egg and spoon race, but with Glade and a ping pong ball.
This is great. This is like a dream. Do you know something? I'm going to walk out of here with a new series.
Yes! But In for a Penny Live, you've got to do it.
Yes, good idea.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky Virgin Radio.
She's been a hallmark of quality on British TV for over 30 years. Please welcome the superstar, Gabby Roslin.
Yeah, what do you think, Gabs?
Oh, thank you. He has the best teeth of anybody I've ever seen.
Yeah. Well, they're very well framed in his freshly trimmed beard as well, and his new haircut.
Oh, he's very handsome.
He's very handsome when he's very handsome when he's not handsome.
What do you mean when he's not handsome?
Because last week he's a bit of a scruff bag, to be honest. But you were.
I was. It's true.
You went and got yourself groomed. Your wife was away. You had some spare time on your hands. You Mary Kondo'd your whole bedroom, didn't you?
It's true.
Oh, did you do the whole thing?
I did the whole thing. I did the cupboards and the drawers and everything.
Do you want to see the pictures?
I've got pictures.
Do you want to see the pictures?
Did you colour it? Did you put everything in its colour and everything in its place?
I did everything in the length. So I did the long stuff on the left, the short stuff on the right.
Oh, it's
so good.
You do the rainbows, everything. It subconsciously goes back in the same place all the time. Yeah. Don't worry, we're all over. Is it Mary Kondo or Marie Kondo?
Well, see, I quite like all of that, but I have my own way. I like to have my patterns together, and I like to have my colours together, and I like to have all of that. But also, what I really like to do is get rid of the things that are just, you know, that whole emotional tie you have to things.
Yep.
Get rid of those, because then you don't have the emotional tie and you can just get on. But now I'm finding out about Marie Kondo. Yep. And who was the other one? Didn't you have her on your show?
Mrs. Hinch.
Go Hinch yourself.
Yes.
You and the other quarter of a million people who bought a book in the first minute.
I'm going to go and have a look.
So you've got your pictures of you Marie Kondoing.
I do.
Do you want to put them on Instagram?
I do.
Okay, Gabby, would you like to see them first?
I'd love to see them.
Do you want to approve them before they go on Instagram or not?
Yes, please. If I could, because I love Instagram.
Would you like to see any other of Dave's pictures?
I'd like... Maybe not all
okay,
of them.
Okay, all right, well, I'm going to let you two sort that out.
All right, okay. That's,
okay.
Yeah.
So Gabby is in charge of the show Shop Smart, Save Money. It's a big hit on Channel 5, and Episode 3 starts tonight, 8 o'clock, Episode 1 of 8. And so what's going to... How much time do you dedicate to the phenomenon of Easter egg shopping?
Well, actually quite a lot, because Alexis Conran, my co-host, who's lovely from The Real Hustle, of course, people know him from that, and he's on board. So he always does an investigation every week as well. He likes to really get to the nitty-gritty of it all. So he's weighing out... Listen, I have to tell you, though, when I... So I turn up to do the show on a... We've tape it on a Tuesday, so it goes out on a Thursday.
It's taped as live.
Yeah, well, yeah, and it's up to the minute. So everything you get is up to the minute. So it's, I mean, as up to the minute as you can be if it wasn't live.
Is that because things are changing all the time so quickly
all
nowadays?
All the time. All right. All the time. But every time I turn up and things change while we're actually taping on a Tuesday, we go up to Bradford. They are the most welcoming, lovely people. I love it up there. But every single time we tape it, things change whilst we're doing the actual show. And also I realise that how many times I've had the wool pulled over my eyes. So I go into a store because I love, everybody knows now, I'm allowed to be out about the fact that I love fashion. I love shopping. I enjoy shopping. It makes me feel good. Even when I'm feeling a bit down, going and buy that lipstick. You know the whole thing that everyone says, you just buy a lipstick and it makes you feel just that little bit better.
That's us.
Do you buy a lipstick? It makes you feel better.
Every time.
Good. You have got fantastic lips, by the way.
Thank you. Okay. Well, you know.
Even when they're lipstickless, they're gorgeous.
Well, they're not lipstickless very, kissable. Very frequently. Thank you.
You know, you can't tickle yourself. You can't kiss yourself either. Imagine if you could kiss yourself.
Kiss yourself.
Imagine if you could kiss yourself.
Kiss your own lips,
imagine
you mean.
Imagine if you could do
that. Because you can kiss your hand.
Yeah, but you can't tickle yourself. You can't kiss yourself. Imagine if you could kiss you. If a human being could kiss.
Hold on.
Kiss themselves, I would kill for your lips, Vassos.
Can I just say, did you say you can't tickle yourself?
No, you can't.
Scientifically proven, you can't tickle yourself.
I bet Gabby
I'm actually, no, but I'm not ticklish.
Was that you definitely can't.
No, but that's all part of the same thing. Some people are more ticklish than others, but nobody can tickle themselves. Nobody. Nobody. Even people who are really... Even Mr. Tickle can't tickle himself with those long arms.
Even if they're really ticklish.
Really ticklish?
Yeah. No.
Can't tickle yourself.
Are you really who's really ticklish in the room?
You can't tickle yourself. You can't keep your eyes open when you sneeze. You know that one?
Yes, I know that one.
By the way, Diaries of a Motorcyclist, Day 3. Okay.
Yes, yeah. How's it going?
It's going very well. But I forgot, because I've not been on the bike for a year until this week. Yeah. I forgot that it's not the best idea to sneeze when the visor's down on the M4. That's not great.
Christopher.
<It's> not, sorry.
What did you do?
What?
What did you do
just
afterwards?
About, no, I just about remembered in time. It was such a panic. I was like, oh, God, I'm going to sneeze off. Second only.
Two.
On a hot day, like today's going to be, so you have your visor up when you're going home. Because think about, you know, on a motorbike, you're chilly on the way, no matter what you're wearing. And if you have to over-clothe on the way in, on a day like today, you're sweating on the way home. And it's all protective, so you have to really wear it either way. And either way, if you don't, you're silly Billy. But that's second only, sneezing with your visor down, second only to visor up.
Yes.
On a day like today, to try and get some natural air conditioning around your noggin.
Yes.
Wasp, right? Wasp flies into your helmet. You panic so much. In your panic, you close your visor.
No!
That's the worst thing that can happen to you, you and your helmet, whilst you're on your motorbike. It's the worst
thing. Has it happened?
Thing. Yes, it happened.
And did it sting you?
No, what happened was I had to throw my motorbike down. Thankfully, it was at a red light. So I threw my motorbike down, and then I went around the road like this. And everyone's like, what's wrong with that bloke on the motorbike? Why is he jumping up and down, smacking himself on the head, hurting his hands on their helmet? And I couldn't get the blimmin'. And I had a pair of sunglasses on, and then the wasp panicked and took cover in between my glasses and my eyes. Poor wasp. I felt really sorry for the wasp because he didn't know what the heck was going on. And he was trying to say, look, I wasn't even going to sting you. Okay, this is as bad for me as it is for you.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky. The best entertainment all in one place on Virgin Radio.
Our next guest is the frontman of a truly great British band, putting the finishing touches to their eagerly awaited seventh album. And with some massive summer shows lined up, I predict a great interview with a man that never misses a beat. Oh my God, I can't believe it. It's the right good Ricky Wilson.
Ricky Wilson! Yeah. Ricky!
Is that all he does?
No, it's not actually. But let's not get onto that because it takes up most of each show when a guest poses that particular question. So Ricky, you're here. Now, what the heck were you banging on about while that record was playing that we can talk about on the radio?
I've got my shoulder popped out.
Oh, dear.
I know.
So you dislocated your shoulder?
It hasn't popped back in yet.
Okay, you can pop it back in yourself.
I did it.
It happens a lot. I mean, it's not recommended.
Have you done it yourself?
No, I've helped other people do it because I had a friend and her shoulder used to pop out all the time and she treated herself to an MX-5. Morning, Lisa. And it was before they had electric roofs and every time she turned around...
It used to happen to her all the time.
You know, Lisa, don't you? Really well. And... No, she'd be like, oh, it won't be a minute, my shoulder's popped out again. And she would just stand against the wall, like this, and she'd go...
Yeah, that's what I did.
And Ricky's here to talk about a gig, a stadium gig at Elland Road in Leeds, because she's playing Elland Road, and then, the month after, playing Wembley Stadium with The Who.
Oh, yay!
How did that happen, Ricky?
Because The Who like us.
How do you know The Who?
You know The Who.
I know The Who, but how do you know The Who?
Well, Roger, he goes, oh, Ricky, stay lucky, you know. Do you want to play? Yeah, nice one.
No, come on, how did it happen?
It was Pete, actually.
So how, Pete. How?
I don't know, just said, we're playing a gig, do you want to play?
And but how does that happen? Via email, does he call you up? Do you meet him in a bar? Do you go around to his house? What happens?
No.
Just... Ricky, he has his good days and his bad days. How was Ricky
today? Hey, that's a Kaiser Chiefs song. Good days, bad days. It was our seventh single. Email from Pete. Do you want to play? Yes. We're playing Elland Road, the stadium.
The stadium.
Are we a stadium act?
Home
game. I don't think so.
You're about to find out.
Well, we've done it before.
You have done it before. Now, you've a great way to learn to play stadiums is to play with bands on
who
their headline. Yes.
So
who have you played with in the past?
In stadiums?
Yes.
Well, I've played with U2, as you well know, because I fell off your shoulders at a U2 gig.
And then couldn't play the next one because of it.
I watched about 4.8 seconds of U2 on Chris's shoulders until he dropped me.
Well, I didn't necessarily drop you. You were trying to dance and you forgot you were an actual other person at the time.
Yeah, I did. Sorry.
And we were in Portugal. And
it was in Portugal?
Hot. It was in Portugal. It was in Porto, in Portugal.
How were you on his shoulders, though?
Because he played the support gig for U2. I was at the gig anyhow because my best mate, who's Portuguese, who's my best man at my wedding, my last one, and... He wanted to go and see U2, so as a surprise, I took him to U2, and then we got to stand where the engineers, the sound desk is, because it's the best point for sound in the stadium, which is why it's where it is. Yeah. And then Ricky, because he was
the day I met him as well.
Because he was in the band, so he gets a few perks as well, because he's actually all part of the set, part of the lineup.
Get a few perks. You raided our rider.
Did I? I didn't mean to raid your rider. Sorry, I had no idea.
You're doing it. Come on, tell the story.
So okay. then I got on his shoulders.
He said, Can I get on your shit? No, like a kid would get on. Like a kid.
And you just said yes, no problem.
I'd never met Chris Evans before. Mm. That sounded like Wogan. Chris Evans before.
And you thought I'd just jump on his shoulders.
Well, he's very tall in real life.
Yes, he is.
I'm useful at gigs for smaller people.
Yeah, so I got on his shoulders.
I've known Chris a long time. I've never said, can I sit on your shoulders?
Well, if you had it done, I would have said yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
and then dropped you.
No, I wouldn't have dropped Gabby.
You only have to ask.
Gabby, for obvious reasons, especially back then, Rick, was less droppable and remains less droppable than Ricky. Is that fair or not?
Yes.
As friends, we can say that, can't we?
I was big.
In fact, wasn't that the turning point for you? Wasn't that?
I thought so. If I can't get on Chris's shoulders
and stay there,
I'm going to lose a stone.
Was that the tipping point?
It was. Hey, I did Celebrity Tipping Point last year.
Did you? How was it?
I'm not going to tell you because they've never shown it.
It was that good.
I was too good. No, because
who keeps a Ricky Wilson tipping point in the can?
No,
why would you?
I got so competitive.
Christ.
No one else answered the question.
That's why
I was straight to the final.
Did they all go home?
They all went home. I won't tell you how it ended, but I won.
Okay. Did anybody die? Right.
But you know what?
What?
I gave the money to Roger Daltrey. That's why we're supporting the
for Teenage Cancer Trust. Oh, that's good. That's a nice story.
Well done.
That's brilliant. Yesterday, I forgot to have my health drink. Versus one for you, this. I forgot to have my health drink yesterday. Well, I couldn't have it because I didn't get home from work till 5:30. But then I went to the pub and I had a Pimm's because it was Pimm's o'clock and it was a sort of Pimm's-y kind of day.
It
and
was.
It's a Pimm's-y kind of weekend and it's a Pimm's-y kind of time of year.
You can't just put a clock after things.
No, I know. But we've got to expedite the conversation, so I will. So what I want to know is how much nutritionally, what's the value of a Pimm's? What can I get out of a Pimm's?
How much fruit was there in it?
Quite a lot of fruit.
Oh, they're fine.
Did you eat the fruit?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yeah, I always leave the fruit till the end, don't you? And then really enjoy it. It's like the bubble gum at the bottom of a screwball.
I don't like that.
Get rid of the fruit. It's like sangria.
You don't know what you like at the moment, mate. You have no idea what you
really
like or don't
sinister.
Like. You think you're in the Kaiser Chiefs.
I used to be.
You think you're Ricky Wilson. It's hilarious.
You don't like the fruit in a Pimm's.
Can you imagine if Ricky had a Pimm's now on top of the painkillers?
Oh.
I would love a Pimm's.
Somebody okay, get him a Pimm's.
Can we get one in? We're on till 10.
Someone get me a Pimm's.
Be hilarious. All right, we're going to play Kaiser Chiefs Oh My God now. This is a Record Store Day celebration,
oh,
isn't it?
Is this the original version?
Yes, it is, my friend. Here we go. Rock and Roll by Kaiser Chiefs and Oh My wow. God. Original version from Vinyl. Vinyl revival.
Peanut and Nick produced this.
Good. Excellent. Right, while it's playing, come on, just be semi-serious for a sec.
Yeah.
Just take us back to recording that demo, because that is absolutely awesome. Come on, take us through it.
We made a teepee out of mattresses.
And this is all true?
Yeah, in my bedroom.
Yep.
I can remember doing the vocals, and at the very last minute, we changed the line from, it was, left to our own resources... Like only fools and horses.
Oh, please bring that back.
Well, and then, yeah, I can remember it. And then Peanut and Nick produced this, and they called themselves the Milky Boys because they drank lots of tea, but they liked it very milky.
Rock and roll lives, ladies and gentlemen. Rock and roll lives.
Do you know what?
With mattress teepees and over milky tea.
It was such a happy time.
Of course it was. You can tell.
Because
you
we had loads of hope. And it was a time... You know when suddenly everything shifts in your life to being like, it's going to work.
Yeah.
And you suddenly go... You stop worrying about it. And you just go, you know what? It's too good.
Yeah.
It's too good
it's
to fail.
It's going to be okay.
Yeah.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky Virgin Radio.
Our next guests have made over 1,000 dishes on live TV, which is no mean feat, with the very best of their recipes now available in the new Sunday Brunch Cookbook. Please welcome the Jay-Z and Beyonce of Sunday Morning TV. It's Tim Lovejoy and Simon Rimmer.
Morning, gentle folks.
Morning.
How are we today?
Good.
Very excellent. Good. Nice to see you, Simon. Nice to see you, Tim. So let's have a look at that intro again. Our next guests have made over 1,000 dishes. Our next guests, plural, have made over 1,000 dishes, Simon. Plural.
Yeah.
Our guests have made, okay.
I like that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I like that.
With the very best of their recipes, plural again, Simon.
Yeah.
Now available in the new Sunday Brunch Cookbook. It is Simon Rimmer and Tim Lovejoy talking.
Yep.
You all right with all that?
Yes, of course I am, Chris. It's a perfectly balanced cookbook. We've shared everything.
Yeah.
Tim, how many recipes in the cookbook are you responsible for?
Only one, Chris.
Perfect, but...
That's all I needed.
That's all you need.
All I needed is to make it onto the cover of the book.
Okay.
One.
Change your word, take a third. That's what the old songwriters used to say, wasn't it?
Is that?
Yes,
oh, that's good.
So they used to get sent... Yeah, so like really famous singers got sent a song completely written by somebody else who desperately wanted them to sing their song because then they get all the royalties. And so the singer would say, yeah, no, I really like it. Apart from that line there, I just need to change that. Yeah. And the legal thing is if you change a word, you take a third.
So I should go through all his recipes, just change an ingredient.
But Tim, what are the ingredients in your recipe that you've written?
What tuna. Is your recipe?
It is the Kung Fu tuna. It's been the most popular recipe we've ever had on the show.
What page is it on?
I don't know. It's in the middle somewhere.
Oh, okay. You don't even know what page it's
on? Well, why am I learning page numbers?
I just wanted to see if it's the most thumb page. Because our team have taken your book home and actually cooked things from it. Look at that, Si. Look at that. That's Marvellous Mira's dish last night. What is that she's cooked there?
Oh, it's a chili aubergine. It's one of my favourites. That's nice.
Okay.
Although, she's done it vegan because the chili aubergines in the book has a little bit of feta on. That's beautiful.
Yeah. Well, are you fully vegan now, Mira?
No.
Or not? No. Okay.
Vegetarian. No, but I eat loads of vegan food. I eat less and less meat. I think you do as well.
I was talking to Mira behind.
Oh, sorry.
That's why I said Mira and not Simon.
Sorry, I was excited.
Is that your real name? Is this a big showbiz secret?
It is. Yeah.
It's Mira Rimmer.
I'm just a persona.
All right. So how long has Sunday Brunch been going now, Tim?
Oh, God, I don't know. 10 years? Oh, no.
Six years.
Is it six years?
But did we do four before?
Or did we do five? We've been working together
11 years.
12 short years, Timothy.
And how did cooking get to, whose decision was it at the production meeting, Tim, before you hit the air to get cooking on? Do you remember that moment?
No, I was called into the BBC and then they said, look, we've got this show for you, but we're not sure you want to do it. But some bloke in the office thinks you'd be good for it.
Right.
We've lost our presenter, who was
Andy Peters.
Right.
There's Simon and Amanda Hamilton. If you go on there and just see how you get on with the pilot. And I said, yeah, I'll turn up and do it. So it was already, the show was there, and I just chipped up at the end, right, like I'm doing with a cookery book.
Well, it's working. Nothing wrong with that.
And we just met, got on, and it was like brilliant. And they were going, do you really want to do it? And I'm like, yeah, I'd love to do that. Because I just think I love live TV like yourself.
It's a fun show. And there's very few opportunities like Sunday Brunch for people to work on and to watch nowadays.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, what about Saturday and Sunday Brunch together? Or every time there's a bank holiday weekend, you go Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. What about that?
I wouldn't mind it. I kind of...
And he's like, no, I'm all right, thanks.
Chris, at the moment I'm working one day a week and I'm...
You're loving it.
And I really like...
I wouldn't mind it Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind doing a bank holiday as well.
Bank holiday would be good, yeah.
But it shows up and running. You know what you're doing. And isn't it... What do they call it? They call it the economy of volume or whatever they call it. You know, when a show is up and running like yours is, to do another one, to do 100% of another one, costs about 5% of... the original cost anyway, so why wouldn't
you? Our show started at an hour and a half long, then 2 hours, two and a half, three, and 1 week, because they mucked up the F1, scheduling, they made us go four hours.
Right.
And it still kept its ratings. And they went, hold on, guys, can we think about it? I'm like, oh, 4 hours. But actually, I wouldn't mind going 4 or 5 hours every week.
Yeah. Oh, so you'd rather stay on for one day but go longer?
Just the whole day.
What about Friday night? Don't you do
I'd love to do Friday night.
I think what Telly could do with, in my opinion, I think a long, long Friday night show that starts at 10 and finishes whenever it wants to. That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that would be great.
These two reparations very kindly invited us on their show to talk about this show. And I said, look, I'm very flattered, but if you want me to stand by guest, just say so, right? So I'm happy to go on Sunday Brunch as a guest anytime in the next year, but only, and I promise this is true, and I promise I'll do it.
Okay.
Unless I have a massive family commitment, unless I can't do it, I promise I'll do it, but I'll only do it if you call me after 6 o'clock on a Saturday and I'm a genuine standby guest, because so many people are infuriated when they suspect they're standby guests and somebody else has been bumped and it's a last minute phone. I love it. I'm happy to help my telly mates out and go, no, standby guest, yes! I'm super standby guest in the Tiger Woods fashion. I sweep down and yes, here I am, standby guest time.
So you are such a good guest. Every week now, we're going to hope someone drops out.
Yeah, but I will, seriously. I'm happy to be a standby guest, but I won't be a guest.
What if we manufactured it so someone dropped out? Would you be upset?
As long as I didn't find out about you, you'd be fine.
Okay, fine.
But I'd have my ways.
I'm lying to you,
Chris. My ways and my means.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky. The best entertainment all in one place. On Virgin Radio.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
He's one of the most diverse actors working across stage and screen, with an incredible array of dialects in his repertoire. Currently on stage as Chris Keller in the Arthur Miller classic All My Sons, please welcome the marvellous Colin Morgan.
Good morning, Colin.
Hey, good morning.
Has it started, the play?
Yeah, so we had our first preview there on Saturday night.
Right.
And we're in previews all this week into early next week, and then we have our press night on Tuesday next week.
Because we had Jenna in a couple of weeks ago talking about Similar, and she was very excited about it. How did the first one go in front of actual other human beings?
Well, that's the exciting and the scary thing about it, because you spend this 5-week period inside a rehearsal room, very intimate, very close family, and then suddenly you're on a stage and you're exposed and you're raw and you're sharing it with 1,000 people. And it's making that shift, making that adjustment from from that room into an actual theatre. But we're lucky that it's such a great theatre. The Old Vic is such an amazing building, an amazing stage to be on, that it's a privilege and a pleasure as amidst all the fear.
So the Old Vic, the Young Vic is just down the road, isn't it?
Yeah, Young Vic's just down the road. Now, yeah.
As I recall, the Young Vic's got an amazing bar.
It does, yeah, so, yeah. It's got that vibe about it. I mean, it's brilliant.
So the Old Vic and the Young Vic, never the twain shall meet. Oh yes, the twain shall meet.
Yeah,
and it does.
They're on the same road. In fact, my first year out of drama school, I spent a year on the cut on that road. I did a play. My first play was at the Young Vic. Then my second play was at the Old Vic. And then my third job was back at the Young Vic.
Really?
So, and now 10 years later, I'm back at the Old Vic. So,
you've been at it a while, then, haven't you?
We will. Yeah.
How old are you now?
I'm 33.
See, I would have had you down for like 25, 26. Because I saw you in Simon's film. Simon came on. Because you weren't where you were going to come on and talk about the film. But
I was so sick that day. I'm sorry. I wanted to come on. But,
oh, no, you know. Yeah. Don't worry about that. Great film, by the way. How's it doing?
Yeah, really good, really good. It's gone down so well. Benjamin was a script I read that Simon Amstell had written, and was immediately after reading it, I was so taken in by it, and I desperately wanted to be a part of it. I'm lucky Simon took a risk and brought me on board, and we had the best time doing it.
You're hardly a risk. Come on.
Everything's a risk. It's got to be a risk, otherwise, you know, if it's safe... Maybe complacency could creep in.
It depends,
right?
Doesn't it? You're absolutely right, of course, but it depends who's behind the risk, you know.
I suppose.
And that's when it gets really exciting. This is risky, but look who's involved. He's probably going to be all right, but maybe it won't be.
Yeah, exactly.
Who knows?
Exactly. Everything, you know. But yeah, the best time doing it. Simon is such a great director. My goodness.
I like him as a human being.
Oh,
he's so gentle, isn't he?
Oh, he's
so
wonderful.
Clever.
Very, very clever. Brilliant. Very clever. Yeah. He never said the word action once on set. It was always... whenever you're ready.
All right.
I know, it's just refreshing.
And he told me this story about you keeping your accent.
Yes, yes.
Can you recount that story again for us?
Well, I'm more or less...
Because you're very good at accents.
I love accents.
Does he not know this?
Yeah. He was not up for me utilising that skill whatsoever. No, he was very much, you know, he was right. You know, I haven't really got a chance to use my accent very much. And I initially just assumed I went in and I did my standard neutral English because I'm used to being told to drop my accent all the time. So I just assumed, but it was quite refreshing for him to say, no, do it in your own. I want it very much to be you. I want there to be no barriers between you, the character, the script. Make it all one. And that was so refreshing. And actually, it gave a lot of pathways and opened a lot of things that... for humour and expression that mightn't have been there if I hadn't have done that.
It's a beautiful film. It's up for some awards already, I think, isn't it?
As well, I need to catch up and find out.
It's
been going down so well.
It's a great film, Benjamin. All right, well, you're great. And why wouldn't you want to go and see Colin and the gang? Sally Field, by the way.
Yes.
Okay, London's Old Vic Theatre previews began on Saturday the 13th, press night Tuesday the 23rd, and runs until Saturday the 8th of June. You're a delight. We thought you would be, and you're more than we ever hoped you could be. So
thank you so much, thanks.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky Virgin Radio.
Have you ever regretted a bit of home improvement? A paint that just ain't working? Bathroom tiles getting you riled? Well, no more. Joining us now ahead of her new virtual reality property makeover show, Your Home Made Perfect, tonight on BBC Two, it's the virtually perfect Angela Scanlon.
It's tonight, it's on BBC Two. Kevin MacLeod, Grand Design, she's coming to get you. There's a new makeover. Sheriff in town. Of course, we know Kevin and we like him, and he's on our show all the time. We all call him for proper advice off the air, so I'm sure he won't mind this. Anyway, it's Kevin, of course, builds brand new homes. It's an entirely different thing.
Yeah.
But this is a bit of that, isn't it? Good morning, Angela, by the way.
Good morning. Thanks for having me. This is swanky new digs, isn't it?
Yes, good, it's good. I like your cardi coat.
Thanks.
Is it a cardi coat?
A coatigan.
A coat? Is that what you call them?
Yeah.
Coatigan.
Yeah.
And what was the other thing? The shirt?
A shacket.
Shacket. There was a shacket, wasn't
there? Jeggings.
The shacket. Was there a pullover and shirt at any point?
Shullover.
Let's go. Anyway, very nice. Coatigan. Very nice. And nail varnish to match. Is that on purpose?
Blue. No, that's not on purpose.
Well,
this
it goes perfectly.
But thank you.
Oh, come
nail
on now.
Matches you.
I also really like your socks.
Do you?
They are some kick-ass socks.
Do you know what they're called?
Yeah.
Shockleys.
Sockneys.
Is
it David Hockney?
Of course.
They're called Sockney.
Yes, they're great.
You can see them on Instagram now. Yeah. Instagram at Virgin Radio UK. So your new show, we've all seen it and we like it a lot. It's very, very good. It features, it's got tears, it's got tantrums, it's got floor tiles, it's got everything you need for a makeover show, hasn't it?
It does, yeah. It is, yeah, it's a bit mad actually, because it's using virtual reality, which I think a lot of people think of as for gaming, or, you know, maybe you've walked by a certain tech shop and tried it on and done a bit of painting in it. You know, it's quite disconcerting. Have you ever used VR goggles?
VR goggles?
Yeah. Virtual reality goggles, like for gaming or anything. No.
Me?
Yeah.
No.
I heard you got rid of your phone altogether.
Got rid of my phone altogether. Okay. Got a rescue dog. I'm still running. So I couldn't be further away from that
from
virtual
that.
Very happily. But I know it's useful for some people.
It is very useful. And so basically the show, people come in. They hate their house. Sometimes they hate each other. And they want a new home.
Right. Now, that's very interesting. Psychologically, let's just pause there.
Okay.
Do they hate their house because they hate each other? Or do they hate each other because they hate their house?
Hard to
interesting
know.
Interesting though, isn't
chicken
it?
Egg situ. And it actually it is. There's a lot of tension, and there's a lot of kind of, if your house, because you think of, oh, like you mentioned floor tiles, and obviously it's aesthetics, isn't it? And you want a house to look nice and to feel good when you're in it. But if it doesn't work, it can actually be really really difficult for families to exist in that space.
Did you discover anything yourself from these genius people that you've been working with, the design team, the architects and the engineers, the structural engineers and the interior design people that you've now taken or want to bring into your own life?
Well, so previously,
everything.
I mean, I have to say, I think a lot of people would think, you know what? I know what I want. I know what I like. So I'll just get the builder to do it. Yeah. Skip the architect. But actually, the way they see things is so incredible, and the solutions that they find. There's a thing called a light well or a light scoop, which is like game changer. Any house, it's basically a hole in the wall that lets light in, but it totally changes the feel of a room. And how, and then you can, if you're brave, paint it in a certain colour so that when the light comes in, it reflects off it, so it gives a little hue to the room. It's lovely, but light is the big
thing. Yeah, and you can guide the light from those light tunnels, so you can bend it around corners.
Yeah.
We had one in our old house, and it came from the ceiling, and it went round a couple of corners, and it went round a very, ended up over a very dark corridor upstairs, and we actually had three in the end, and it transformed that corridor
completely.
So clever, so simple.
Did you get them to VR your house?
No.
Oh,
I'm the same as Chris. I'm in a rental. But, like, I definitely think if I was doing this, and once, like, costing is not prohibitive, 100% this is the way to do it. And also, like you said, Caroline wanted to do that. You couldn't quite get on board. Maybe that's because in your head you can't visualise it. That's a problem for a lot of people.
It was one of those things.
Yeah, I didn't want to say.
But people
half
see
the population.
Men. You were very kind there, Angela. Yeah. The ratio would have been the opposite. That's a huge problem for a lot of men.
I can see it now, though, and I really enjoy it.
But now that it's been built.
Now that it's gone, now that you grumbled for 6 minutes.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky Virgin Radio.
From growing up in apartheid South Africa to hosting one of the biggest and best late night shows in America, our next guest has been named one of the 100 most influential people in the world by Time Magazine. And after reading his book, Born a Crime, it's easy to see why. Please welcome the incredible Trevor Noah.
Good morning, Trevor.
Good morning, everybody. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for staying up so late to talk to us. So, Trevor, before we talk about your book, your new take on your own book for the younger reader, how is Mr. Trump and the world of Twitter at the moment from your point of view?
You know what? I think people have gotten used to Mr. Trump and his tweets, which is a good thing and a bad thing at the same time. I feel like everyone used to be shocked every single morning or every single evening, depending on where they are in the world. But now people have gotten to the place where, you know, the sun rises, the Trump tweets, and then we know that it's another day.
Well, last night his latest tweet to hit us over here in Europe was him giving advice to the Paris Fire Department on how to put out their beloved Notre Dame Cathedral.
Yeah, it's amazing how Donald Trump has advice on what everyone should do everywhere around the world, except in his own country. You know, whenever people ask him questions about what to do in the U.S., he always answers with the same thing. He always says, "I'll get back to you, folks. We'll be looking at that, and we'll get back to you.
Yeah.
We'll totally get back to you."
Now, do you think that your predecessor on The Daily Show, do you think John would ever have left had he imagined Trump was going to come to power? Because that is a rich vein of comedy there waiting for you, isn't it?
You know what? Part of me thinks he would have stayed if he knew that Trump was going to come into power. But at the same time, I think he might have left because they would have been so disappointed in America.
Right.
So I think it's like a 50-50. He could have gone either way.
All right. Now, listen, your book, Dapper Dave, who works on the show, he's read it all. I've scanned it, to be honest, but it's fantastic. This is a new take on your book that was out a couple of years ago, Four Kids. It's Trevor Noah, Born a Crime. So first of all, tell us about the title. And then can you tell us in a minute how the heck your empirical rise to fame from Joburg to North America. How did all that happen? Over to you, my friend.
Well, the book Born a Crime gets its title from my life. I was born in South Africa to a black mother and a white father during apartheid, which was against the law. And so, you know, as fundamental as it sounds, I was born a crime. I was illegal. I couldn't live with my family. I was considered a different class citizen to both of my parents. And that's what the book is all about. And I guess the journey takes you through my life growing up in South Africa, moving into democracy, living with a single mother, growing up in a world and a country where there's a lot of tension and violence, and then coming out on the other side into something beautiful. And I mean, that became the journey that I moved into my stand-up comedy, and my stand-up comedy is what got me to The Daily Show, and The Daily Show is what got me onto your breakfast show.
Well, fantastic. And your Instagram account, we're just new to Instagram, okay? We are way behind here, Trevor. Not in Britain, by the way, just on my show particularly. Britain's pretty much up to speed. It's just me that's lagging behind at the dusty old age of cobweb-ridden 43. 53. Oh, no, God. 53. Now, you've got 4 million followers. Can you give us some Instagram tips? What do people like to see?
Instagram tips. Okay. People like to see pictures of you with puppies. People like to see pictures of you with Rihanna.
Right.
And then people like to see pictures of you topless. Go with those three pictures and you'll be up like ASAP.
No, just
repeat those three pictures over and over again.
I'll be in jail. We don't have a Rihanna over here. Also, we don't have an Oprah because you're often pictured with Oprah and Rihanna, aren't you?
Oh, well, I was lucky to have Oprah on my show. So, yeah, that was a one-off. And I guess I was a guest on her show before. So, you know, Instagram is a lot more deceiving than it seems. It'll make you believe people are living lives that they aren't. That's a lot of what Instagram is. So if you're good at faking it, then Instagram is for you.
All right, no, perfect. In that case, 100%, yeah, on board. Okay, so what does it feel like now to be, you know, you've been cited as one of the 35 most powerful people in New York, you know, and we all know Spider-Man's uncle says with great power comes great responsibility, but also great opportunity. For, I mean, you can really make a difference now, and you are doing, aren't you?
Well, you know what I try? I try not to take myself too seriously. I also try not to take my job too seriously because at the end of the day, I'm still a comedian. And, you know, in the world of satire and in comedy, you also have to live in a space where you don't take what you do too seriously because you're trying to make a mockery of the world you live in. So I see it as an opportunity. I see it as an obligation. But at the same time, I see it as a platform where I get to make people laugh. And that's what I'm trying to do at the end of the day, is make you laugh about what's happening in the world. And if you learn a little bit about what's going on in the news, then I've done double the job.
You know, producing The Daily Show, you know, how much work does it take? Because it is gang-busting funny. It's as tight as a drum. It's funny. It's relevant. It's brave. It's pioneering. It's as fresh as the daisy. How do you do it day in, day out?
Well, thank you. I mean, I have to say my team does it. You know, we work so hard on every single show. And it's really difficult because everybody wants you to get every piece of information about their story into the show. So if we're doing a story on Brexit, there's always someone in the UK who's like, oh, that's not the full story, Trevor. That's not all of it. And I'm like, yeah, but that's all we've got the time for right now. And, you know, someone in America will get angry. And then someone in, like, South Africa will get angry. And people always feel like you haven't given enough time to their story. But that's all you can really give is the time that you have. So that's what we try and do.
Okay, well, next time somebody contacts you complaining about the fact you've not given Brexit enough time, just say to them, well, look, it would take us 3 years to give it the actual real time. What do you want? What is it you want? 3.5? We've just been given the extension of 3.5 years. The Brextension. We're looking for Brextacy is what we're after here now.
That's hilarious. You guys are edging. You're just teasing It's I like it. It's gone from an instant pulling out to more of a tantric situation. So, you know, it's Britain enjoying this process. I appreciate it.
Well, enjoy is not a word we'd use, but I know what you're saying. Listen, Trevor, thanks so much for staying up for us. Are you going straight to bed now, or have you been working? What are you doing right now, apart from this?
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky Virgin Radio.
We know him as the moustached Prince Albert in ITV's Victoria. Now he's donning a communist cap in the highly anticipated new film Red Joan. Here to share the fascinating story of the Cambridge student turned Soviet spy, it's the deflated Manchester United fan,
Tom, sorry.
I can't believe
you mentioned that. I'm trying to get warming up for the interview, sorry, Dave.
The wonderful Tom Hughes.
Yay! Oh, no, we're going to have to talk about Man United.
We are, aren't we? Heartbreak Central, eh?
Okay. Did you really think you'd win?
Yeah, of course I did, yeah. Ollie's at the wheel, isn't he?
Where did you watch it?
I watched it in the George on Haverstock Hill, which
no finer place to watch football, Matt.
No finer place in the world to watch football. No, yeah, it was pretty devastating. Okay. I was just saying outside 1994 when we lost 4-0 away to Barcelona, it was kind of a shift for Man United. So I'm clinging to the hope this is like the start of a new dawn, and the next 10 years are going to be a reflection of the '90s.
Good luck with that.
All right, this is all I've got now. Sorry about this, Tom. This is all I've got.
No, it's good, mate. No.
I'm apologising ahead of what I'm about to say.
Okay.
From the Reds to Red Jones.
Whee.
That's all I got there.
It was good.
Okay.
I liked it very much.
So Red Joan is you and Dame Judi Dench and a whole lot of other very, very talented people in a spy thriller that is a true story. Tell us a bit more about it, because I don't know how much to not spoil.
Okay, it's kind of a true story. It's inspired by a true story. There was a woman called Melita Norwood who was arrested in 1999.
Right.
And she'd kind of gone under the radar of MI5. But it transpired that back in the 30s, she'd been feeding information to communist Russia, and more importantly, been feeding all the information about the nuclear armament that was happening in Britain. And so she kind of disappeared, but had been a very important spy and feeder for Russia. And in 1999, in the latter years, was arrested and was quite open about the fact that she'd always been a communist. Now, this inspired a book about called Red Joan, which is what the film is based upon, which it follows the story of a woman called Joan Stanley, and we meet her when she's arrested, which is when Judi Dench is playing the part. And then it flashes back to the Second World War when it's Sophie Cookson playing the part. In our story, Joan is more ambiguous as to her political leaning, but she goes down a similar kind of path, and there's ethical choices about information, and is it fairer to share it, is it not? And it's all set in the backdrop of Second World War, and we see the woman later on in her life dealing with that, whatever decision she made, dealing with the effects of that.
When did you make it?
We made it about a year and a half ago.
See, movies are so funny, aren't they? I remember when Emma Thompson talked about writing the screenplay for Much Ado About Nothing. You know, and we do a radio show every day, and it's over by 10 o'clock. And, you know, if we do one that we're not so proud of, we try and do a better one the next day, and we can fix it like that. And, you know, I remember Emma Thompson said, I was interviewing about Much Ado About Nothing. She said, I said, so how long did it take you to write the screenplay for Much Ado About Nothing? 7 years.
Oh, God.
There's no way I could write the screenplay. So what have you done between finishing this film and coming out on Friday?
Had a couple of pints, cycled my bike, played some football, and then I filmed a third series of a TV show. But well, you talked about it, Queen Victoria, and then I've just literally 3 days ago finished a film of me playing a guy having a breakdown on an island with his dog, with a 3-inch beard and trapped on an island.
Kind of dog?
It was a sheepdog called Shuggy, but in the film it's called Baxter.
How many Shuggies were there?
Just the one. Just
come
me.
On, tell just, us the truth.
It's true, man. Just me and Shuggy hanging out.
Not like spare Shuggies?
No spare Shuggy
stand-ins?
No Shuggy stand-ins.
Shuggy wagons?
No Shuggy wagons, no. Just one pure thoroughbred Shuggy.
How did it feel to shave the 3-inch beard off?
Like the best juice cleanse you could ever have in your life.
Do you miss Shuggy?
I do miss Shuggy.
Would you miss most the beard? No, definitely Shuggy.
Definitely. I don't miss the beard.
I bet you can grow. I couldn't grow. If I grew a beard, it'd be rubbish. It'd look very pubic.
You're a little bit bearded at the moment, yeah.
I've got that. I've got a bit of stubble.
But it's not like whole. You know, some people grow a beard, it's got patches in it, and you go, oh, that's not.
See, Julian Assange's beard, considering he's been there for 7 years, it wasn't a great 7-year beard, was it?
But did he commit for 7 years to that beard?
I don't know. But for me, it wasn't. It was a little bit Tom Hanks.
Castaway.
I'm a bit
concerned. My beard's going to be similar. You know, trapped on an island.
No, but I bet yours is gorgeous.
But it's certainly not gorgeous. But that itchy thing is
look at Dave. Look at Dave. Look at his beard. Look at that beard.
Now that's a beard.
He's a dapper man, isn't he?
He's a very dapper man. He had his haircut at the weekend. I said, nice haircut. He said, what do you think of the beard? Because he had his beard done at the same time. I said, it's a bit George Michael. He said, that's all right. I like George Michael. Okay. Right. I think we're done, Tom. Anything else you want to mention?
Ollie's at the wheel.
Ollie is at the wheel.
Tommy.
Is it going to be all right?
It's going to be fine.
Okay, okay. Yeah. Lifelong Man United fan.
Lifelong Man United
because,
fan.
Because dad, brothers.
No, my dad's an Everton fan. My brother's a Liverpool fan.
Because you've got a Scouse 20.
Yeah,
going on.
I have. Yeah, so, and when I was born, I kind of, you know, I didn't know which way to go. So I was like, right, well, I'll go against you both. I'll be the rebel or support Man United. And that was when they weren't so great. And then they got great. And actually, the thing that consolidated it for me was my dad found out that when Man United played Liverpool away, they stayed at a hotel in Chester, which is where I'm from. And it was a day after my birthday, April 19th, my birthday's tomorrow. So he was going to take me down and get the autographs because they were playing Liverpool away. But he thought, I can't take him because if they're not there, we're going to let him down. So he rang the hotel at 11 o'clock at night and said, can I speak to Alex Ferguson, please? Because I thought, if I say, the team there, they're going to say no. So they go, yeah, sure, we'll just get him. So Alex Ferguson comes on the phone and goes, hold, says, Alex, can I? And my dad's like panicking and I'm in bed, I'm only 11. And he's like, no, I've got you, Mr. Ferguson. Would you mind speaking to my son? So he's like, yeah, sure, no problem. So he wakes me up and goes, Alex Ferguson's on the phone. Jesus Lord. Like, so I go down and I'm never usually lost for words, didn't know what to say. Started panicking. He's asking me how I'm doing, saying happy birthday. I pull the phone and we didn't have loads of cash. So the phone cut out. So I'm like, Jesus, I hung up on Alex Ferguson. Then he phones me back. So the phone rings and I answer and he's like, is that Tom? This is Alec. I did 14713. So I'm chatting to Alex Ferguson and he's like, who should I play tomorrow? And I'm like, drop. Pallister is useless. Next day we played, we won 3-1 and Pallister scored twice. So that's that. And that was the moment where I was like, forever I will be a Man United fan. Alex Ferguson is a gent and a scholar.
That's the best story ever.
I actually don't think I'm here anymore. I think I'm back at home. I've only like my disco nap in the afternoon. I've just dreamt that Tommy came on this morning to talk about his Judi Dench film, then made up the story about how he became a Man United fan in between domestic Liverpool and Everton furore.
Honestly, that is
I actually still can't believe you said that story.
True story.
It's fantastic.
True story, yeah. So that's why I'm a massive fan.
It's the best. So am I from now on.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Look at the fact he called you back. He called you. Where were we, son? Well, Alex, seeing as you're asking. That's great. Okay. Thank God you told us that story.
I needed to say thank you to him anyway. So if he's listening, there you go. Cheers, Alex Ferguson. Thank you very much.
You need to nip upstairs to Talk Sport and tell him that story too. Oh, well. We can sort that out. All right.
You've got a very good Alex Ferguson story, but that one's better, Tom.
Oh, well, sorry.
I can't remember mine anymore.
Yours is that you went to Cape Town for 15 minutes and the only person you saw there was Alex Ferguson.
That is a true story. Yeah. But he never mentioned Tom to me.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky on Virgin Radio.
Vassos!
Hello. We're still on the ground, but I still don't like Bill moving around because the whole gondola wobbles a bit.
Vass, you're not on the ground. You set your 18 floors up. How is that being on the ground?
18 floors up, resting on the terrace of the news building, and this is all very secure, but the thing is the gondola does wobble whenever you move. Hmm. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, yep. 9 people looking a little bit concerned around this gondola. Why are you all looking worried? I thought there was nothing to worry about.
It's because you're in it.
Hello, Bill.
Morning, Bill. Like the sound of him already.
Good morning.
Bill Mitchell is our regular window cleaner. I'm in his gondola. I'm on his turf. Bill, thank you for having me. I'm sorry I haven't been a very good guest. Am I right to be nervous?
No, there's nothing to be nervous about.
Except the height, the fact that those wires look really thin, and that's the only thing keeping us...
20-ton braking strain.
Each of them. So there's four of those. So that's 80 tons in total. And we're clipped in to the gondola.
Cradle.
When did you start cleaning windows, Bill?
40-odd years.
But what is the most interesting thing that you've seen when you're cleaning windows?
That you can talk about.
Yes.
Have you seen things that you can't talk about?
Of course he has.
A few.
Right, okay. We'll be right back. Vassos is on the 18th floor, but he's on the wrong side of the building, so he's got to go over the roof with his new friend, Bill. I like the sound of Bill. I like the cut of Bill's jib. I mean, he obviously knows what's going on. He's 62 years old. He's been in this forever. He's just swinging a bosun's chair for fun around lunchtime, around the whole of London with his little chamois in hand. Vassos, have you started moving yet?
Yes. We're moving. We're up. We went up and over, and now we're heading down. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
So it swings about a bit, but then... Once you get used to that,
right.
It's quite nice up here, Bill, isn't it? I've seen a view of Southwark Cathedral that very, very, very few
who aren't pigeons have seen. London Bridge has never looked more beautiful under the blue skies of London. It's a little bit windy.
Once we get our ties in.
Oh, we're getting ties in, are we?
Yeah.
Excellent. Right. Tell us about the ties.
Here they are.
All right.
We got time.
Yeah, we're on the radio, Bill.
Where we want to go, 14? Forget the ties.
No, it's all right. We're not in a hurry. The ties are important. I've been in the ties are important.
Forget the ties. Oh, my
God.
You've
forget them.
No, don't forget the ties. Oh, dear.
Please don't forget the ties.
Are you on our side of the building yet?
We're on your side of the building.
Yeah.
I can see trains going, but there looks like a model railway down below London Bridge Station. Mind you, it looks like a little model railway from inside the building, not just outside. There is something very special, Bill, about being outside a building like this, isn't there?
Yes, nice view.
What did you feel like the first time you ever got in one of these cradles?
Yeah, of course, your stomach turns over.
Oh, right.
It doesn't happen no more, you can just get used to it.
Well, I'm sort of getting used to it. So now, what floor is that?
I think that's 15 or 16.
Have you seen anyone? So we just saw somebody. He was in his emails.
Here we go.
He was in his emails.
Yeah, you see most people, they're not working.
Yeah, there's Bill.
Here we go.
Come on.
Can you see us?
Look at that. Yeah, of course we can see you. You look like Anton Deck.
Right, should we clean the windows?
Yeah, let's do some.
Ah, look at
here
that.
You go.
All right, hang on.
By the way, Bill looks as fit as a
Bill, bunch let's do the ties.
He's 62 years old.
We can't do the ties.
He looks like 42.
Bill, the thing is, I can't actually reach the building we're swinging out.
Can you hold on there? Look.
All right, hang on,
are we filming
that
this?
One there.
Yeah? Brilliant.
There we go. You're going around like that a bit. Oh, I'm smearing the dirt.
Yeah, because you ain't pushing hard enough.
All right, hang on, I'm pushing
that's
harder.
That's so funny.
Here we go.
That's it.
Is that nice? Yeah. No, I've smeared it again.
Yeah, I know, because look. The technique is you put it on the window, you don't take it off. Let me show you.
Why didn't we do the ties? Can we go back up and do the ties?
No, you swing if you've got the ties in. It doesn't matter. You're swinging. It's a cradle. You'll swing.
Right. Vassos is officially swinging on the radio. So, Vassos, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Hello, Chris.
Okay. I'm not being funny, but you have missed a bit.
No, you aren't being
funny. You've missed loads.
So you're going to go back over the top of the building. Is that the best bit? Is it like going out, like being on the top pod of the London Eye or something like that?
It is. I mean, it is terrifying when the thing first starts, when the cradle starts going up and over the building.
Right.
It is terrifying. But then once you're here, you know, you trust the ropes. You know that you're clipped in nicely.
Yeah.
And the view of London is so immense. And being outside in the air in it feels like being a bird a bit, Bill, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's nice.
He's gone mad, hasn't he?
Nice. Lost it.
Altitude issues.
Thank you very much.
All right, okay, thanks. Bye, Vassos.
Bring him back.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky on Virgin Radio.
Thank you so much for listening to this, the podcast of the Virgin Radio Breakfast Show. Don't forget you can subscribe and get it every week from wherever you get your podcast, and you will never miss the weekly roundup of all the best bits from our Virgin Radio Breakfast Show with Sky.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.